Today's perek in Tanakh is Melachim Beit, perek Chof. Now, what we've seen is that from the outside, everything looks very clean. In other words, we understand that there have been war conducted on various levels. We had psychological warfare with the original approach of Rav Sheikah. We had a direct spiritual warfare, which was exactly what Chizkiyahu came in and showed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it goes far beyond psychological attacks. It's a real thought on the part of Sancheiriv that there's no mokum for the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha in the world, so that he's like Paro Melech Mitzrayim, and that unless there's a response, Ben HaShamayim, it's Begetim Meish Rabbeinu's Loma Yomru Mitzrayim. And then we found more subtly that there was clearly an internal machlokas going on in Yehuda and Yerushalayim itself, which the Gemara goes into great detail. And that was the story of the argument between Siyato Shel Chizkiyahu and Siyato Shel Shevna, where the majority of people wanted to make peace with Sancheiriv and give up, leave Yerushalayim and go into Galut, which Chizkiyahu felt would have meant the end of Klal Yisrael, and that the real battle was a battle that was internal, and until such time as there would be a clarity in Chizkiyahu himself that this is what needs to be done and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is semech on his way of looking at it, despite the fact that it was not the Rov, and that those who are against it are not against it because they have a clear, well-thought-out approach, which therefore we have to go according to, we should go according to the Rov, and this was Chizkiyahu's terror, that if they're the Rov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to paskin like them, and forget about it, send us out, and I'll have to do what they do. But rather that they are Rishoyim. That's a very difficult thing for a man to come to believe. And this is the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, this is Kesher Rishoyim, Kesher Rishoyim in a minyan. These people are evil. And that's like saying that today, you know, the Moetzit Gedolei HaTorah is evil. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people sitting in the Beis HaMedrash, learning, paskening, dinim, and Sanhedrin. You know, to understand that the underlying drive of wanting to be mashal with Sanhedrin is evil is an astounding thing. And it takes a tremendous amount of internal achievement and development until you reach a point at which you're able to say that kind of thing. It's exactly like today. A lot of what, somebody is not only wrong, somebody is bad, very bad. Because the impact of the type of Piskei Halachas that are coming out, whether they're Rov, not whatever it is having such a devastating effect on Klal Yisrael that someone is rotten, there's no question. For a person to be able to reach a clarity of who is rotten, and to be able to say, I just don't care about that, that's a Kesher Rishayim, it's off the wall. It's a very difficult thing. It's very interesting that when I was a kid, I used to look at this as a terribly cynical statement. But the Brisker Rav, at the time that they were having the machlokas about whether Chinuch Hatzmoni should have, you know, Limudei Chol in the classes. This is like a major, major question.
In North America?
No, here. Here in Eretz Yisrael. So is there a mokum for having schools that have secular studies, right? Okay, so you have the Chazon Ish and all of the people that were backing the Chinuch Hatzmoni, they should do this, become part of the government system of the Chinuch Hatzmoni schools, with independent but quasi-government related. Or is it considered to be a complete violation of our B'Seirah, and we're ending up now destroying the future of Klal Yisrael by creating these schools? Which Al Tigubim Mishichai, which is what the Brisker Rav held with many of the other. And I remember that they used to say over the early days when I was in Brisk, it's like 45 years ago, that, well, the Brisker Rav says, I can't quite say it's a Kesher Rishayim. I was thinking, you know, what kind of, it's such a cynical thing to say when you're really considering saying the Chazon Ish is a Kesher Rishayim, but you can't quite say it's a Kesher Rishayim. It takes many years to realize that things that look holy, Sheva holies, can really be Kesher Rishayim. In other words, a person can think to himself, It could be, but I can't say it. So the Brisker Rav was saying, look, I don't know. To me, it seems that this is so devastating. It could only come from Rishus. But I'm not clear. I'm not clear enough to say that. So Mamela, if this is what he holds, I have to discuss it with him. I have to argue. He would go to Bnei Brak and so on and so forth. But it's not cynical. By any means, it's not cynical. It's a clarity of understanding the extent at which evil can penetrate into the deepest reaches of what appears to be complete and interested only in the MS do you need. So that's a remarkable thing, and that level of warfare, that's all that we saw in the previous parak. And we're not given the details of how things developed internally that allowed that clarity to be achieved. As I mentioned yesterday, we're now going to go backwards. And what's interesting is that we're only going to go 3 days backwards. Now, moving back 3 days, we find an awful, awful event in the middle of this disaster in which Sancheriv has basically destroyed the entire country, is left only with this final destruction of Yerushalayim in which, as he himself says, this place is such a joke that it's a waste of time that I even brought the army here. I don't need to fight against this city. All I need to do is tell every soldier to pick up a pebble. And if they each pick up a pebble, there won't be anything left of this ridiculous small town. I don't understand what people have been telling me that this is such an important place. It's a joke. That was his reaction when he comes up, sees Yerushalayim, waves his hands and says, oh, look, I can't believe this. How much money it costs to bring this army all the way over here? We could have sent a couple of Marines to take care of this place. So there's now a complete and total terror inside of Yerushalayim, watching this army that is just, I mean, it makes whatever it is that Chizkiyahu could field, and this is as Rav Shakeh pointed out to him, I'm willing to give you the tanks if you got people to drive them, you idiot. I mean, that's how unbelievably outnumbered and outweighed in every way that this was. So this is terror. So he needs to maintain now his belief and his faith that despite it all, and despite the fact that we've lost, understand, country is decimated. Even if this it magically disappears, this army, we're still decimated. We have nothing to eat, we have no future, it's all over for us. He has to believe, that's why Yeshayahu needed to address yesterday to him the fact that this will be an oak that magically you'll survive. And you can understand the struggle with Emunah. This struggle with Emunah, it's not that I don't think that God could save me. It's just that I give up on my worthiness of being saved. It's obviously, it's just too late. It's hopeless. This is the way people do. They just accept the inevitable. And to anybody normal, this was inevitable. In the midst of all of this, Chizkiyahu gets so desperately ill, which we see from his prayer that's recorded in Yeshayahu, that he is in absolute agony. He's convinced that if he lives through the night, he's certainly never going to live through another day. And it's over for him personally. And he's the only one that's holding this together, you understand? So that everybody else wants to surrender. In the midst of this, 3 days before the conclusion of the invasion effort, he's dying. Not only is he dying, but Yeshayahu Hanavi comes to him to tell him, you're dead. Not you're dying, you're dead. You're dead in this world, you're dead in the next world, you're finished. For a man to be able to maintain his belief that there's hope under those circumstances becomes now part of our understanding of what every member was going through. This is what the Melech is going through. So all those who were Tenchim, who were committed to Chizkiyahu, were shattered in the same way. It means they needed to learn a completely new sense of where they belong in the world. So this is horrifying beyond belief. Absolutely horrifying. Now, not only that, but the way the Medrash understands it, Chizkiyahu's tikkun, and Chizkiyahu was amazing, and we spoke about the things that he had done that we see in Divrei HaYomim. his complete reconstruction of the Beis HaMikdash, his taking the Kohanim and the Levim and forcing them to be mitaher and to be mitaher the Beis HaMikdash and to undo everything that his rotten father had done, and the way that he was willing to throw his father's bones to the dogs, basically, and to show everyone how little these kind of things mean in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs. This is an amazing man. According to the Medrash, the real tikkun that he has of the Beit HaMikdash is only after these 3 days. But he doesn't really complete all of those things which are Divrei Hayomim. It's Mashmash was part of the getting rid of the Asherot, and so which is Mashmash was the very first thing that he did in Malachim. So in the Seder Olam, what's happening is, if we put it together remarkably with the Gemara and Sanhedrin, the way the Gemara analyzes the pasuk of Od Hayom Benov Lavo, and we know that Sancheriv had his army in Nov, he had a supply and his central command now in Nov, moved up from Lachish. Od Hayom Benov Lavo, says the Gemara, you know what that means? It means that this was the last day, these were the last 3 days, that the chet of Nov Ir HaKohanim was active against Malchus Beis David. And remember that David was held responsible, and this was the child of Orpah that was called Yishpi Benov, because he was bringing Nov back on the head of David. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to David, look, this sin is still there. You went to Nov to save your life. And because of that, the entire city was wiped out. And like it never occurred to you that maybe Sheol would think that they're in cahoots with you. It was worth it for you because you needed to get something to eat to go to Nov, which destroyed the entire kahuna, basically, at that time, except for one child, which the Gemara says, if it hadn't been that one child had escaped, then that one child for David would never have escaped. There wouldn't have been a Malchus based David. That's how powerful the Kitrug of Nov was against Malchus based David. 3 days remained on the very last day. It's Od Hayom Benov Lavo. It was the last day of the Kitrug of Nov against David and his Malchus, which means against Chizkio. Chizkio, we've seen, is the only one that's called literally Kedavid Aviv. So this is all now aimed at Chizkio. The fact is, as the Maral explains, that the very willingness to take that from Nov and take the chance, obviously at the time he wasn't aware of it. He realized it only when he saw Doeg there. And then he was afraid, it says. He realized, uh-oh, this guy's here, we're in for trouble. Until then, he didn't even know that he had done something wrong.
Okay.
But once he knew, what was that coming from? So says the Maral, it's clear that if it allowed the destruction of the Kohanim, then it must have been a pogrom in his commitment to the Beis HaMikdash. Because if really his entire vision would have been Aveda Shamayim and the Kayanim, he would never have subconsciously allowed anything to affect them. If this is what ended up affecting him because of David himself, that needs to be taken care of. And if not, it cannot be a marker of Geula. Now remember that we saw earlier that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was thinking that indeed Chizkio should be the complete closure of this whole thing. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asot Chizkio Mashiach. He was supposed to be the end of the entire process. The shortcut now 2,000 years off of the journey to the Hashlama of Malchus Beis David. And the only reason that he wasn't Mashiach, says the Gemara, is because he didn't sing. So the Oretz comes along and says, I'll sing. Let me sing in place of him. I'll sing. That's the Zmira Yishamanu, Knafa Oretz. That wasn't enough. So something is missing here. Fine, we'll need to understand. But that means that all of this now was coming together here on these last 3 days before. So he becomes desperately ill. We need to understand, what in the world is this? This man is an amazing man. We've already said he does everything exactly the way David. This is the man that, in the middle of all of this, who's willing to be mechazik as emunah against everything. This is the man that now becomes ill beyanim ha'em. Chalach Hizkiyahu Lamut, right before Sancheirev, he gets this horrific illness in which he's at the gateway of death in absolute agony. I mean, he describes the way that he feels in Yeshayahu. Agony. He can barely take the pain. Doesn't say why. Vayavo elav Yeshayahu ben Amoz Hanavi. And Yeshayahu comes to him, Vayomre elav, Ko amar Adonai, Sad leveitecha, give your last will and testament to your home. Ki metata, because you're a dead man. Velo tichyeh, and you will not survive. The Gemara says that seems to be redundant. Obviously, if you're mate, lo tichyeh. And one is coming to tell you, ba'olam haba. So you're mate in this world, you're going to die in the next world, and you don't have any hope at all. Vayasev et panav, and so he turns his face away from the Navi, El Hakir, to the wall. Vayit palel al Adonai lemor. And he davens at that point instantly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ona Adonai, zichorna at asher et halachti lefanecha be'emet, ubelevav shalem, v'atov be'inecha asiti. Please, Hashem, remember all of the things, the way that I've been walking in front of you. As Avram Avinu was told, Italech lefanai ve'yetamim. I did that. I went b'levav shalem. Those were the words that David HaMelech told now Shlomo. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, Im yishmru banech letarkam lelechet lefanai be'emet b'chol levavam. I did that. And that was the promise that you gave to David. V'tov be'enecha asiti. You said yourself, Vayas Ayosha Be'ine Hashem. You wrote yourself, Acharav Lo Ayaka Mohu. So I ask you, Vayev Chizkiyo B'chi Gadol, and he cried very, very bitterly. Until in the end, his tefillah was mitkabelet. Now, the Gemara tells us that this was the moment which he rejected Yeshayahu's interpretation of Neviut. So he said to him, what's the big deal here? What did I do? So Yeshayahu said to him, well, you weren't Osek and Viri Viri. You didn't get married, didn't have any children, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't forgive you for that. So he tells Yeshayahu, but I know that had I had children, it would have been unbelievable Rishayim, like my father. My entire life is dedicated to undoing what my father does. I'm going to have children now so that they should bring out all of those genes and everything that I was trying to escape. I'd rather not have children at all. Said Yeshayahu to him, well, you know, that's already Kavshei D'Rachmana. Those are God's secrets. It's not up to you to define the nature of the world. You do what's incumbent upon you. God gave you a mitzvah, period of Arivia. You be osik in that mitzvah, and that's it. It's not up to you to define what the advantages are, whether it's good, whether it's bad. That's out of your hands. So he says to Yeshayahu, you know what? You have a daughter. Maybe you give me your daughter, and between the two of us, the schus, my schus, and your schus combined, is sufficient. So I can deal with this. Maybe we'll be able to have a child together, and that way he won't be as horrible as just having my genes. Yeshayahu looks at him like he's crazy. You're not listening to me. I just told you, you're dead. It's all very nice. You could have thought of this a year ago, but there's nothing to discuss. So he says, Yeshayahu, Mr. Ben Amos, you can finished talking. You're Nevius? Thank you. You can get the hell out of the room. I don't accept you. I don't accept your approach. I have no need of you. And I have no need of your guidance. I come from a family that has plenty of guidance. And this is what I was mekubal from my great-great-grandfather, David HaMelech, and so on. Afilu cherev chadam unachat al tzavaro shel adam, ayit ya'ish ben arachamim. There's never a moment in which you give up. As Winston Churchill said, never, 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 never give up. And that's it. If I'm a Melech, and I've gotten this far, I'm not about to give up because some guy with a big gray beard tells me that it's over is for me. I understand there's a Nevi'ah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a Nevi'ah to be Ma'ariyah to the Teshuvah. I'm going to do the Teshuvah. And so he turns, says the Gemara, what's the meaning that he turns to the wall? What's the wall? It doesn't mean the wall. It means he turned to the chambers of his heart. Kirot levavo, to tear his heart open. So that what it was that he came to understand was what was wrong with him. And that is what he was misfollowed for. Obviously, he didn't just say, I'm a good guy, remember me, and so on. And we'll see when we get to Yeshayo, the complex tefillah that he offers. And sure enough, Vayi Yeshayo lo yatsa ha'ir ha'tichona, it writes, but the Kriya is chatser ha'tichona. Yeshayo had barely gotten out of the chatser of the palace. Udva Adonai ayah lev lemor, and the word comes from him to Hashem before even people had gotten used to the idea that he was dead. Shuv v'amarta Chizkiyo negid ami. Look at this. Go tell right now, Chizkiyo, the king of my people. Wow. Means that the lotion of Negid over here, he's now giving him a tremendous madrega that we didn't hear before, because the original Malachim, Shaul, David, Shlomo, were all called Negidim. Negid also has a double meaning. It means a roe, it's somebody who is shepherding them. It means he's bringing them in the right direction. It means he's the guy that I can trust. He's the honest shepherd. This is like a whole new appreciation for Chizkiyo that he's never gotten before.
Is it a spokesman?
No, it's more the sheep, the Gidim. Go tell him, Ko amar Adonai Elohei David Avicha, Shamati et Tfilatecha. So says Hashem, the God of David. And this is exactly, he's been... Now, Miyachis himself back to David, uses the words that David taught Shlomo. He's told Yeshayo, get out of here. I'm not interested in you. I have a Kabbalah from David. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yeshayo, excuse me, but he was absolutely right. You go back in there. And you tell him, I heard your tefillah. Ra'iti adimatecha. I have seen your tears. And I accepted what it is that you said. In an Iro Felach, I am going to cure you. Bayom HaShlishi, and on the third day, which is the day of the attack that was meant to come from the day of Pesach, exactly, the night that will be the destruction of Sancheret, Ta'ale Beit Adonai, you will come up to the Beis Hashem to be made to me, and you will be part of the Akrovas HaKorban. Vosafti al Yamecha 15 Shana. I'm going to give you 15 additional years. Umikaf melech Ashur atzilcha ve'et ha'ir hazot. And I am going to save you from the king of Ashur, you and this entire city. Ve'ganoti al ha'ir hazot lema'ani ulema'an David avdi. And I will now protect this city and be a shield against anything bad for this city, for the sake of my own name and for the sake of my servant David. Not for you. Let's make that clear. You talked about how I should remember how great you are. I don't remember any of that. Sorry. And from here, the Gemara says that Chizkiyo himself says, Nele Shalom Mar Li Mar. There's a double meaning to that. Mar Li Mar is he identifies himself as Li in between two very bitter past and future. A bitter father, Achaz, and a bitter son, Menashe. And there's Li in between. But Hinei L'Shalom, Mar Li Mar, said, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and told me that there will be peace and that I will live, it was an extremely bitter way of telling it to me. Because what bigger slap in the face can there be when somebody says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember the way that I walked in front of you and I did everything right, and so on and so forth, and you get a message, I hear your tefillah, I'll consider it because of David. That's exactly saying, the last thing I'm going to listen to is you're telling me how great you are. Because you're not. That's very bitter. It's a very bitter besura. So what it is that Chizkiyahu achieved over here was not as much himself, but indeed to become the chibur to Lamani and Laman David Avdi. Vayomer Yeshayahu, and so the very Yeshayahu a minute ago was proclaiming already the sealing of the coffin of Chizkiyahu. Now is asked to say, Api Dvar Hashem, Khu developed Te'inim, take now a eagle of Te'inim, a crushed, what do they call them, a bar? A cake. A cake of figs, which is always the worst thing to put on a wound. It's very irritating. It's the last thing that you would do. Vayikotzachazal point out, Kodesh Baruch Hu always does that. Always takes the thing that is the opposite of the refuah to show that in it, it's like the mayim amorim. It's a pattern that we find. Take the last thing you'd think that would make things better, okay, and that makes things better. Vayasimu al hashchin vayechi. Take that and put it on the shchin, which obviously this means that Chizkiyahu had the shchin. And that way he will live. Vayomer Chizkiyahu el Yeshayahu, Ma'ot kirpa Adonai li. What is the sign? Right? How do I know that you're not just trying to be nice to me? How do I know that you're not just trying to be machazek liyam? Give me a sign that this is going to be a true refuah v'aliti biyomer shlishi beit Adonai, and that I will be zoka to go up to Beit HaMikdash on Leil Pesach. Vayomer Yeshayahu zelacha ot meit Adonai. There is an oath that's prepared for you. He is going to do what he said. I leave it up to you. What would you like? Would you like the clock to move? The sun clock. Would you like it to move up 10 hours or go backwards 10 hours? Anybody can make a clock go forwards. Nakel Latzel Lintot Eser Malot. I mean, you can just get a little bit of shade and it looks like it's, you know, the day's going ahead fast. Lalo, I want it to be Yashuv Atzel Choranit. Go backwards 10 hours. Eser Malot. Vayikra Yishayo Anavil Adonai. And so Yishayo calls out to Hashem. Vayashev et Atzel b'malot. Asher Yarda b'malot Achaz. Achoranit Eser Malot. Achaz had built this enormous clock, which was built by stairs that had pieces. You have a diagram here, which I'll put as a PDF of a stair sun clock, where depending on the position of the sun, different stairs are lit up, and other stairs are left itself. Right, so as the sun goes down, the shade goes up because it's blocked by a piece of the wall against the stairs. And then you can easily see.
The ancient Jews made clocks this way also before they had sundials. This was a method of using
a clock. It's an easy sundial. Yeah. And so indeed it did. And this got all around the world. It's called Ma'alot Achaz because Achaz actually built this clock. It's called Ma'alot Achaz because we know that the day that Achaz died, the sun indeed went ahead quickly, so he shouldn't have a good funeral. So, it's both of them in Ma'alot Achaz. Now, we know that when Achaziyahu was offered a oat, he said, no, Chas v'Shalom, I don't want to be Manasseh Hashem. And that was indeed an indication that he bedavka didn't want to get a Shem Shamayim that would come of the oat. Normally, you're not Manasseh Hashem. You don't ask for an oath. But we find in the case of Gidon, and in the case over here, that they bedavka asked for otot because of the fact that everything was so broken, so hopeless, so that it was important for him to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, that everybody should know about it. Now, there's an amazing medrash that gives us further insights. The Gemara only mentions the discussion between Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu about the fact that he didn't get married. What the Tanit Ve'Eliyahu says is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Yeshayahu and he says, do you hear how this guy speaks to me? When somebody speaks to a Melech Basar V'Dam, they don't sit there, they They tremble when they talk. This guy talks to me like he thinks I'm his friend. And that's why he got sick. Now, this is not clear. What exactly is he referring to? This guy talks to me as if he's my friend. I mean, Chizkiyahu came into the Beis HaMikdash, spread out the Megillah that had been sent to him by Sanherib, which was full of Gidufim, and speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this can't go on, and we have to... L'chora, I mean, you would say that the thing that he's speaking about is that he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, you have to listen. Hateos v'chara shma. You have to look. P'kach enechu re'eh. Who does he think he's talking to? The problem is that we say that. The problem is that, I mean, that was the tefillah of Ezra. We say that all the time. I mean, Ateos v'chara shma. I mean, so... here HaKadosh Baruch Hu was complaining and saying that this is terrible and he deserves to die. What kind of deal is that? What does he think we are, friends? That he's now coming to tell me that I have to pay attention, that I don't pay attention to Shmi HaGadol, and he's the one that's going to now bring me the knowledge that that I should pay attention. It's outrageous. Lemaisa, this is a fascinating thing because... I mean, the truth is, there are different people who, throughout history, speak in different ways to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You find exactly the same thing with Choni HaMa'agel, right? Where he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I asked for rain, I didn't ask for some drizzle. No, I asked for nice, good rain, not to be drowned. Right? So I guess the Shimon B'Shatav Sanson says, you know, if you'd be anybody else, we put you in the chayrim. Chutzpah, who do you think you're talking to? Now, what am I supposed to do? You're like a kid that wakes up in the middle of the night and says to his father, I want water. He brings you water. He goes, no, I want a story. He comes, tells you a story. I want a candy. You get away with murder because, like, you're a ben amitchatei l'aviv. And, okay, so what am I supposed to do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts up with you. I got to put up with you, too. Clearly, there are different madrigas which the Mishnah identifies, which Rabbi Yochanan needs to ask Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa to daven for his son. So his wife, and then the Gemara's wife asked him, I asked him, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, your Talmud is greater than you are, that you have to ask him to pray for your son. And it turns out that the moment that he prayed, that was the moment that your child became better, and that until then he was dying, and your tefillahs didn't mean anything. And he says, look, there are people who come into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're very chashuv, and they have to speak. They can't just make demands. Chanina is like, he's like a child. He comes in, he says what he wants. So he can daven in a different way. I'm like a sar b'fnei HaMelech. And he's like, he walks in there, he can talk like an eved, like a ben, and I can't get away with that. So obviously there are different hanhagos. Maybe it's even possible that once Chizkiyahu did this, so it became acceptable. In other words, if there's someone who breaks that as the Melech, he breaks that barrier and the closeness between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael, so that we're able indeed to say, the way we do today, maybe it's based on Chizkiyahu, who knows? With that, I don't have any indication of such a thing. But it's certainly possible that at one particular time, if a person does something that breaks through a new hanaga, and as we pointed out yesterday, this is a period of a completely new hanaga. Because what was said to Chizkiyahu is that I'm going to save you and this city. Lamani. That Lamani was exactly what Yeshayahu said yesterday, exactly the same thing. That you guys are dead. Kinas Hashem ta'asezo. That's Lamani. I'm not putting up with this garbage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yeshayahu. It says to Sancheirav, basically, through Yeshayahu, right? I'm not going to put up with this garbage anymore. Enough. So that means that there's a new hanhaga here. A hanhaga of Kinat Hashem Tzvakot. Which means I no longer look at my schus of the avos. I no longer look at the brit with the avos. I look at the things that I care about. Personally, the things that I set out to achieve, with promises, without promises, that's not the point. So then, if that's the case, it becomes very much a hanhoga that you need to be careful about. This idea of kinas Hashem tzvokos is not something that you get in the middle of. So that the moment that he starts talking about himself in a way that's the worst possible thing to do. And the same thing happens, by the way, to Nehemiah. Nehemiah says exactly the same words. He says, take a look at all these great things that I've done. And the Gemara says, why is it that there's no book for Nehemiah? Only the Goyim have the book of Nehemiah. We have the book of Ezra, which includes Ezra and Nehemiah. Why was Nehemiah not zocheh to his own book? Because he said that. Because he talked about how great he was. You don't go tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at all the great things you did. You're lucky to be alive. Look at all the great things you did. The person is never machzik tova la'atzmo. So then that means that this transition into this period of kinas Hashem tzvakot, that's what Chizkiyahu needed to learn. And what was that kni'ah? And indeed, in Divrei HaYomim, it says that Chizkiyahu became stuck up. That's only later, as we're going to see. It's the very next lines that are coming. That he loses the sense of the balance of his own self. But the diktuk on someone like Chizkiyahu is truly terrifying. But in order to be among those that are noshaim through kinat Hashem, a person has to be completely machnia himself to that kina. And that's what Chizkiyahu thought he was doing when he walked into the Beis HaMikdash. He thought he's presenting HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the clear-cut indication of his commitment to the kinas Hashem, and therefore Hashem should save them, and it's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it's all about me, then why don't you just shut up? Don't tell me that I need to learn to look and I need to learn to listen. That's not what I need to hear from you. You've been listening to a file that has not yet been fully completed and also has not been electronically condensed in order to make it easier for you to listen to. You might want to check again tomorrow or the day after and see whether the file has been completed by then. Your computer may think that you already have this file and therefore not download it. Clear your cache or try to download it a few times until it finally re-downloads. Thank you. So what we seem to have here is a Chizkiyahu who his own illness becomes now a metaphor for the illness of the Am. And here we are at the last moments, both in terms of the Chet of Nov, and the last moments in what is meant to be the life of Chizkiyahu, in which he's about to die, according to Yeshayahu. He doesn't have a chance. And this is now understood to be the way the Klal Yisrael's matzav is. The oven of Nov is going to be nifkad, on Malchus Beis David, they're going to be destroyed, Yehuda is going to be destroyed, and everything that was built is going to be wiped out by Sancheriv. Now remember that Sancheriv is just coming back now from a massive battle that he's had where he was called away. Comes back, when he came back with, as is usual, all of the spoils. And he said, I'm coming right back. Don't think I'm going home. You know, this is just a brief interlude, but I'm going to be back. And he comes right back. He brings with him all of the spoils of his war, including what had originally been given to him by Chizkiyahu. So, you know, Chizkiyahu is wiped out. He's only wiped out so long as Sancheriv is around. All of this is prepared. All of this is ready. It looks absolutely horrific. It looks like the end. Now, if we take a look in Divrei HaYomim for a moment, we have the astonishing description of the most wonderful things that Chizkiyahu has done. Now, we pointed out from the Seder Ayala that this is not necessarily 100% in order. In other words, we're talking about things that are happening on the good ledger of Chizkiyahu. His rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, his being mechanech l'kayanim, his bringing all of Klal Yisrael together, at least an attempt, sending people around to every city, including through where the Aseres HaShvatim, all those who were, even though they left him out of town and threw him out of town and so on, but he tried. Bring everybody together, bring the Korban Pesach, let's bring the Korban Pesach together. It's been so many years. We've never done things right. We finally have the Beis HaMikdash. We have the Tyre. We have the Kayanim. We have the Levium. We have all of the Mishmarites back. Exactly the way that David was the one that originally worked out all of these things. Chizkiyahu now is taking the place of David. And he mentioned this. Vayamdu Alevim b'chlei David. That's all the things that David HaMelech himself had been making, and he brings everything back. And Chazal tell us that the way in which he, astonishingly, in which he restored Torah to Yisrael in one generation, literally threatened people with death if they weren't Bikiyim and the Hilchos Tumah V'Tayrah. I mean, unbelievable what it was that that man had achieved. And he does all of this, builds up Yisrael back to, you'd think, where they were, where they needed to be, and everything is perfect. And so he's going now, and this is like, this goes on for page after page after page. Aratzim Ovrim year to year. People are running around from city to city and begging them, let's go. And then Latet Lem Lev Echad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a Lev Echad, like we only had by Har Sinai. Lasot Mitzvat HaMelech Vasor Midvar Hashem. And this couldn't be better. Vayesfu Yerushalayim Amrav Lasot Chagamatzot. Unbelievable story. So it's true that as far as the Avon of Nov is concerned, which is a bizui of the union of the Mishkan, this tikkun takes place only at the end, the full tikkun takes place only at the end of the sickness of Chizkiyahu, which is 3 days. That's the last 3 days of Avon Nov, and the 3 days in which Sanhedrin is Sancheriv is preparing now his battle. And he's warned by Rav Shaqet, Sancheriv. He's warned by him, listen, these guys are preparing a Korban Pesach. This is terrible. I mean, Nisim can happen here. I mean, we sing about this every year because that's when it happened. At the Leil Pesach, exactly as it did the Paro. And remember that Sancheriv has spoken out against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi Hashem. Exactly the same way that Paro did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you want to try that one? So this is going to be the same Chatzi Alayla business. Rav Shekhar warns him. Listen, today's the last day. It's today or never. Because he knew that this was the last moments of Nov. So he warns him. By the time they get there and he sees the Korban Pesach, but the Shira and the Halal, he says, forget about it. If we don't get out of here now, we're dead. So Sancheriv laughs at him. The first he laughs, what are you, ridiculous? You made such a big deal. You know, you guys are crazy. You made such a big deal out of this little dwarf. A dwarf! I can't believe I brought this whole army for this dwarf. It's an embarrassment. I could have had my soldiers. We don't need any weapons. Why would I need weapons? I'll have every soldier pick up one pebble. So when every soldier picks up one pebble, there won't be anything left of any building in this city. What do I need weapons for? You're making a laughing stock out of me. You're saying, I have to protect today. I'm tired. Soldiers are tired. Tomorrow we'll send a little, you know, a little bit of some forces just to wipe them out and mop them up. At which point Rav Shekhar realizes, oh my God, it's over. This is not going to work. And sure enough, it's at the very end that hand in hand, as we saw, two prokem, Yotet and Chaf, are talking about the same events from different points of views. So the 3 days we went back in time to see what was happening in Chizkiyahu's personal life. He becomes ill. He thinks he's dying. Klal Yisrael is convinced it's all over. Dying from the inside, dying from the outside. And amazingly, the way the Pasuk puts it, is, listen to these words, talks about every amazing thing that he did in the Beis HaMikdash and in teaching and everything else, and the Torah and the mitzvah, Lidrash Lelakav, I mean, it couldn't be greater. And then it says, Acharei HaDvarim VaEmet HaEla. After these wonderful truths and faiths, what? After these wonderful things, Sancheriv shows up to destroy everybody. I mean, this should be like the ultimate tikkun. Ask the Gemara. That's the response to all of these wonderful things? This doesn't make any sense. I mean, you want to say it happened anyway. It's great, but you don't stress. And after these grand and wonderful things, that this is what happened. It doesn't make any sense to say it like that. The whole thing is so strange. And so says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that obviously this is so absurdly mismatched that it's got to mean achar hadvarim v'emet means achar shekafatz HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'nishba. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu got up and he made a shvu and he said, now what am I going to do? What I want to do is put Chizkiyahu into position. Remember that Chizkiyahu was meant to be Mashiach. I want him to have everything. So if I'm going to come to Chizkiyahu and I'm going to say to him, you know what? I'm bringing Sancheriv here with the whole army to bring you all of the riches of the world, to make you the most famous guy in the world, the only person to defeat Sancheriv. I know what he's going to tell me. He's going to tell me, you know, do me a favor, please. I don't want him. I don't want the riches. I don't want the terror of watching Sancheriv out of here. Let's forget about it. I'm happy the way I am. Sakharis Baruch Hu was Kof Atzvinishpa. I swear I'm bringing this guy. Now he's not going to be able to argue with me. Okay? That's why it says, Nishpa Hashem Tzvakot Limor. Imlok Asher Dimiti. That's what he said to Sancheir for the previous parak. I swear this is what I said is going to happen. We're going to make it happen. Which has two meanings. On one level, it's, I made you my Shevet Api. You are my weapon. And I'm making it happen, but we didn't understand then that what it really meant was, I'm making it happen to destroy you. We thought it meant, I'm making it happen to use you to destroy others. And so, Kasher Ya'atzti Yitakum, so this is the Yeshayahu says, I had this all planned out, Lishbor Ashur Be'artzi, to break the back of Ashur in Eretz Yisrael, after it destroys everybody else, and now is the leading empire. Valharai, I am going to use the mountains of Eretz Yisrael. That will be Avusen, will be our feeding trough. So Sancheiriv is going to feed us. That's what's going to go. Yovo Sancheiriv, v'siyat. Let Sancheiriv come with all of his millions of soldiers and representations from all of the countries. V'yeyase evus. Let him become the feeding trough for Chizkiyo l'siyato. And that's what I'm waiting to see. And that is, he darshens the pasuk that the ol will be taken mi'al tzavarecha v'chuval ol mipnei shamen. What does that mean? The yoke of Asher will be broken from oil. What does it mean from oil? The oil that was burning in the lamps of Chizkiyo and all of the Bate Knesset, the Bate Midrashos, of having people learn Torah. That broke the back of Sancheiriv. All right, so this, when you look at it that way, it sounds like, in a sense, the whole thing is a setup, which, of course, is ridiculous. I mean, here Chizkiyo is being told by Yeshayahu, you're dead, and you don't have any Olam Haba, and Chizkiyo's got to tear his heart to pieces, Kirot Livo, and then Yeshayahu is sent back 2 minutes later. Okay, I changed my mind. Yeah, and that part fits in. But in terms of Chizkiyo, the man is going through hell. So this is like the nicest guy. Couldn't be better than Chizkiyo, right? So here we've got a man who basically does everything right, is the only one that follows David Aviv, who tears apart Kirot Levavo, who sticks with his emuna through literal hell, personal hell, the internecine warfare hell, being surrounded by people who want him dead, who want to make peace with Sancheiriv, who look at him as a meshugana, who insist on believing after everything has already been lost. Sancheiriv has already destroyed all the other cities. Yerushalayim is left all alone. This madman insists, instead of facing reality, like Shevna and his sea of hundreds of thousands of people that believe that they need to accept the din, and he, both on a personal level, and a Navi tells him, it's over, baby! He says to the Navi, when you finish telling me you're Navius, you can leave the room. I don't accept death warrants. And does this put Sancheiriv too? I don't accept death warrants. I believe. I mean, whoever saw such dargas of Amunah, dragging all of Klal Yisrael, amazing dargas of Amunah. With all of this, we're now at the moment where Chizkiyahu is supposed to be Mashiach. So the whole world has found out, first of all, that the only man that managed somehow magically to destroy Sancheiriv, millions of people, Chizkiyo, a guy that was so powerful that the sun went backward. He was ill and everything was cured. The whole world hears about this. Obviously, he becomes very famous. I mean, he's now the new god, leading citizen of the world. The Medrash says there were four people in history that had it all, and God was taha al kankanam, gave them a little, like a, you tap a barrel of wine to see what's going on in them. You smell it. You get the smell of the wine. You know what it turned out? It was full of piss. Matzaotam meimei raglayim. You found them full of urine. Unbelievable language. Adam Arishon, Kayin, Chizkiyo. You bring together Adam Arishon and Kayin. There's a chet of Adam Arishon. The chet of Kayin. That is what we are about to discover right now. And this is the way the other Medrash puts it. Okay, now I'll stop holding his hand. Let's see how he responds. What is it that he needs to respond to, and what is his greatest failure in life? Is this moment. He's famous. Not only is he famous, he's fabulously wealthy. The armies of Sancheiriv now, everything that Sancheiriv had, was taken back into the storehouses of Chizkiyo, into the Beis Hamikdash, all of the kelim that had been given away, the daltot, whatever was taken, all the gold, all the marvelous things. Not only that, in Divrei Hayomim, it tells us that from all over the world, people were sending caravan fulls of gold, of treasures, exactly as happened to Shlomo HaMelech, all over the world. Same words that are used for Shlomo HaMelech are used here in Divrei Hayomim about Chizkiyo. Because, I mean, it's unbelievable. Some guy single-handedly defeated Sancheriv and Asher, broke the back of Asher. You know what that is? I mean, you're talking about dozens of countries, hundreds of local kings that have been completely subjugated by the invincibility of Ashur, and some little guy somewhere ended up being able to destroy them. This is unbelievable. But remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made one thing very clear to Chizkiyo. When he prayed to him and said, remember all the good things I've done, the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him back is, no, I don't remember the good things you've done. I remember David, and I know that I have to be makbid on Shmi. Lemani, I'm doing this for myself, not for you, you idiot. And it's not your Maisim Tovim that I'm remembering. I'm remembering Laman David Avdi. Same thing that Yeshayahu originally said in the message, that this is going to be Lamani. This is no more Schus Avos, no more Schus people, no more Bris, nothing. I just can't take it anymore that there's a chilol of my shame. And as a matter of fact, when you walked into the Beis HaMikdash, remember this was the Tanit Ve'eliyahu, when you walked into the Beis HaMikdash and you try to tell me that I should be makbid on my name, and I should, that's a bunch of crap. And the way that you talked itself, that is the reason you got sick. You're telling me, essentially, the only thing you care about is Kiddush Hashem. Okay? Let's see. Let's see whether that's true. Because right now, those two messages, both through Yeshayahu and the message to Sancheriv Ke'ilu and Tel Chizkiyo, and the message that was given to Chizkiyo when Yeshayahu came back, where Chizkiyo knew, marli mar, as the Gemara says, a very bitter message, should have made it very clear to him. As we saw in the beginning, the Aseres HaShvatim are overs. The time for international politics is over. The time for real politics is over. That we saw in the destruction of Shevna V'Siata. The guy was ended up being taken by Sancheriv and dragged on the horses and smashed to pieces because of the whole mace that nobody came out with him. Peace treaties with Sancheriv. Your peace treaties with Mitzrayim and with Babylon, that's just as stupid as Shevna's peace treaties. This period is finished. You want to be shayach now to rebuilding Yisrael? There's one thing to do. You stand up for Lamani and Kedushat Shemi, and that's it. Somebody comes to you and says, gosh, how did you do it? You know what you say? I have no idea. I am an idiot. The whole thing happened as a complete miracle. I have nothing and I pretend to nothing. That's your response. Somebody comes to you and says, we are me big heap bubble men. Me next empire. How about me and you make treaty? That's how you look at him, like he's a primitive. You say, I make no treaties. I have no power. I do nothing. That's what you answer. And that's the only appropriate answer under the circumstances. You are not heap big king Chizkiyo. Remember that. We're telling this to a man who, as the Gemara said, people used to make fun of him because all he ate for his su'udo was a bowl of vegetables. Whereas Pekach ben Remalyo said, oh, that's what you really want. You want people like Pekach ben Remalyo that they can eat 40 saw of birds for dessert. That's a king. That's what people say. That's a king. So Chizkiyo understood what a king is. Doesn't have to be somebody who dresses beautifully, who eats beautifully, who's got an incredible table. That was great for Shlomo, because that was a time in which both Yesodos of Yisrael and Yehuda went together, and it was meant to be foundation and empire across the world. That's not what it's meant to be anymore. It's meant to be a small little kingdom that focuses internally and only internally on fixing everything that went wrong. This is your last chance. You watch wipeout time. Every city was wiped out, anything that you had. You watched Yisrael disappearing. Ten Shvatim disappearing. You know that it's over. So what do you want to do now? Play games with being the big king? Or you want to try to find a tikkun? That was the Mashiach that should have been. And that was Chizkiyo's failure now. And so the very next thing that happens after this miracle is Ba'etahi, just at that time, imagine that, And again, in Divrei Hayomim, we have the background that people were coming from all over the world. So Be'etahi, Shalach Berodach Baladan Ben Baladan, Melech Bavel. Now this same person is called in Yeshayahu, Mirodach Baladan. Mirodach, of course, is the same Mekor as the name Mordechai, which is the Avodah Zorah, really, of Bavel. So this is the guy who is, now it's true, it's 100 years still before the actual coming onto the world scene of the conquering of Nebuchadnezzar, where Bavel takes over the world. But this guy has it worked out. He wants to get rid of Ashur, he wants to be the next world power, and the only guy that seems to have the key is Chizkiyahu. So he hears about this miraculous destruction of Sancheirib, the miraculous change in the time, in the madrigot of the clock. And the Gemara gives a whole cute story of how he had taken his nap and he woke up and he thought that, what's going on? I slept through till the next morning and it's earlier than when I went to sleep, and he was going to have his avodim hung. And they explained to him that, no, that's a miracle. How did that happen? It happened because of Chizkiyahu. It's the whole... So he's very impressed and he sends Sifarim. He sends now a whole... Sifarim, simple level, means letters saying, how happy he is to hear about the recovery. But of course, the meaning of Sfarim in this context is probably as well offering some geopolitical connections, and let's do this together, and here's my plans. And Mincha, he sends gifts to Chizkiyahu. Ki shama, ki chala Chizkiyahu. He heard about all of this, you see. Okay, so now this is, in the way that it's put in Divrei Hayomim, Linasoto ledat kol bilavavo. To get, now this is the same thing that it says about Malkat Shvan Shlomo. We don't see it as being something bad. When she asked him all of these questions and he gave her all the answer and he shows her the incredible things, and she comes out and she says, my God, I thought that it was an insane, mythical overstatement that people were claiming about you. Now I see you didn't even tell me the tenth of it. This is mad. How could this be? So great. It's tremendous Kiddush Hashem. So all he does is he does the same thing. Vayishma lehem, and he responds to them. Vayishma, the deeper meaning of Yishma is not that you hear, but that you respond. So he responds to them in kind. Vayar emet kol beit nechoto, he shows them all of his secret treasures. The kesev, the zahav, the besamim, the shemen atov, even the shemen amishka that Moshe Rabbeinu made. Beit keilav, kol asher nimtza botzrotav. There was nothing, even the orain, the luchais, everything he showed to this king. There was nothing that he didn't show to show the grandeur of Klal Yisrael, everything to the Beit Nechoto, everything that he had, Beit Kenazav, he showed them, Shemen HaMishcha, he showed them, the Oren HaBris, the Luchas, everything he showed them. So, Yishayo comes to him and says, oh, I hear that you had a visit. What do those guys say? Where'd they come from? They came from a very far place, from Bavel. Yishayahu says, really? What did they see when they came? Oh, says Chizkiyahu, they saw everything. I showed them everything in all of my secret treasures. Vayomer Yishayahu Chizkiyahu, I got something to say to you. Shema Dvar Adonai. Hinei yamim ba'im, v'nisa kol asher beveitecha. The days are coming when every last thing that you have in your home, and every last thing asher atzru avotecha ad hayom hazeh, will be taken away to those people, Bavel. Lo yivater davar. Now, one thing will be left. That's what Hashem has to say, Omar Adonai. And as far as your own personal life is concerned, Umi banecha asher yetzu mimcha, asher tolid yikachu. Your own children, they'll be taken away. Vayusarisim, beheichal melech Bavel. And they will be their little servant boys in the house of the king of Bavel. Hanania, Mishael, Azariah, all the greatest people. That's where they'll be. Because you had to open your fat mouth. So this is the Medrash that says, yeah, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Adam, Ayeka. Well, heard you walking, you know. Instead of saying, I'm an idiot, I did something wrong, okay. Come to Cain, call to Me'achicha. What's the problem, says Cain? The whole world you can be saved, me you can't be saved. What's the problem? You come to Chizkiyahu, so, what did the guy say? Like Bilam. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, so, what did the people say to you? Oh, he says Bilam, I guess he doesn't know everything. Idiot. Open your heart and say to me, oh my God, if you're asking me that, I'm crazy. I'm so sorry. The only one, says the Medrash, that answered like a human being, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yecheskel, HaTichyena HaTzomot Eilem, says Yecheskel, Atayodeya. This is a Marshal of Ma'adavadayim. There's a hunter who's holding a bird, you know, so meets a friend, looks at the bird. So, what's going to be with the bird? Asks the bird, what's going to be? Whatever he decides. That's what's going to be. Either he's shechting me or eating me or I'm whatever he decides. I got nothing to say. Yecheskel, HaTichyena HaTzomot Eilem. I have an opinion. I have no opinion. Atayodeya. Whatever you say, that's what's going to be. That's what Chizkiyahu should have done. Instead, like a fool, he answers Yeshayahu. So who are the guys, Chizkiyahu? Oh, important people. Me'eretz Rechokah came to hear about me. Really? What'd you show them? Still don't get the message. What'd you show them? Like Yeshayahu needs to know. What'd you show them? And you still can't figure out what he's trying to tell you. What'd you show? Oh, I showed them everything. So he realizes now that he doesn't have a chance. Vayomer Yechizkiyahu Yeshayahu. So he says, Tov devar Adonai asher dibart. Okay. What you just said, I accept. It's 100%. This is a tzidek adin, basically. An amazing tzidek adin. I see that every word about it is absolute good. Every word that you said. Vayomer, halo im shalom ve'emet yevi amai. Look, I accept that I don't run the world anymore. If I can get through this life, the 15 years that were given to me, with shalom, with emet, I can't guarantee anything after me. I understand that now. I was stupid to worry about the kids that I have. It's not up to me. I can only try my best. So as long as I'm alive, I will try my best. But in this moment, he gives up all of his posturing and all of his desire to fix the future and to believe that somehow a human being can see to it that history will work out the way that he wants it. And recognize that biyamai is all that you have. Whatever is in front of you and whatever you can do. Again, the pasuk read kipshuto sounds idiotic. Ah, oh, who the heck cares as long as everything will be okay while I'm alive. You know, obviously, that's not the meaning of Tov Devar Hashem. Tov Devar Hashem is a deep recognition of ultimate good. And this is a real teshuva of Chizkiyahu. How do we know that? Because it says so beferish in Divrei Hayomim. It says in Divrei Hayomim, Gavalibo, he became arrogant after this maisa. And then he was nichna. Obviously referring to this, that's the only thing that it could be referring to. And this, unfortunately, sums up the days of Chizkiyahu, because for all of the amazing thing that he achieved, and for all of the attempt to mamish change the whole future, and it's an amazing lesson of people. I mean, there is nobody, really, and we'll see Yoshiyahu, but there's nobody, obviously, that has the resources, that has the yashrus, that has the connection to David HaMelech, that has the din of the malchus, and so on. And yet, everybody has the answer. It's amazing. Everybody out there has the answer. He's got his little yeshiva, he's got his little tshuva movement, he's got his, and that's the answer. And here Chizkiyahu, who was meant to be Mashiach, loses it because of the fact that for one moment he thought it had something to do with him. And that was it, you know. So much for the organization of Kiruv professionals. You know, this is not what it's about. It's not about your kill, you know, the tally of how many souls you've won and what it is that the future is going to be changed by you. That's the one sure way of seeing to it that you cannot achieve anything beyond your time. V'yeter divrei Chizkiyahu, v'chol gvurato, v'asher asah. All of the amazing things that Chizkiyahu achieved, all of those things, including the amazing engineering achievements that stand thousands of years later, where every single day thousands of tourists go in to see those things that Chizkiyahu made and are astounded that this could have been achieved so long ago. Those great things that he did. Halo aim kituvim al sefer divrei hayamim lemalchei Yehuda. They are, in fact, all written down. Sefer Divrei Hayamim, Vayishkav Chizkiyahu im Avotav, Vayimloch Menashe Beno.